Mark chapter 9. The father is asking Jesus to rescue his son from the devil. And that's the one to ask for, you know, that's the one to pray to. But we'll just read a couple verses. We'll read verse 23 and 24 and bring our text from verse 24. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." He really felt that. He felt the burden of his son, and he felt a lack of faith and maybe some doubt in his own life. And he, with tears, said, "Lord, I believe, I really want you to work, but help thou my unbelief." And we don't judge him because we've probably been in that place many, many times. But we'll see what God has to say to us today. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for your mercy that's new every morning, for your loving kindness, your long suffering, for your grace and the riches of it. And I pray today that you would minister to every heart. I'm sure we all have a desire to honor you, love you, serve you. And many times our faith is weak. I pray you'd strengthen that today. Be honored and glorified for all that takes place today. Help us as we preach and help us as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great text. "I believe, help thou my unbelief." There are believers in this world and there are unbelievers in this world. It's kind of an easy statement, amen. You either believe the Bible or you don't believe it. You either believe in Jesus Christ or you don't believe in Jesus Christ. But in our text, it's like belief and unbelief are mingled in one verse. And there's a point to that we'll see as we get into it. There's no compromise about salvation. The only way to be saved is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's belief and acceptance of Christ that is essential. Remember, Paul was speaking with King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, and the king said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You can't almost be a Christian. You become a Christian by receiving Christ as your Savior because you believe that he is the only way to the Father. And so when you do that, that's not an almost. Almost is only true in, what, hand grenades? And what's the other one? Horseshoes, okay. Acts chapter 16, Paul is speaking to the Philippian jailer and telling him some different truths. And the jailer said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Isn't that easy? Amen? Faith in Christ. What do I have to do to be saved today? Well, you don't have to join the church. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You just believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he had a good conversation with him. He explained the scriptures to him. He was reading Isaiah 53, the eunuch was, and he said, "How can I understand this except some man should guide me?" And so Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And then this eunuch, he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said this to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart," the verse is, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So there's, "I believe in Jesus." We have in John chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to Martha. And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Martha said, "I believe." The eunuch said, "I believe." Amen? And that is belief in Jesus Christ. It's faith in Christ. What's involved in that statement? "I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus was the Son of God." What is really involved in the depth of that? The answer's in the Bible, and so we'll bring a Bible message today. Amen. Because the devils, James chapter 1, the devils believe and tremble. So the devil believes in God. He knows there's a God, but there's a reception of this. John 1:12, as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So belief and receive, it's active. Amen. If you believe, something is going to take place. In Ephesians 1:13, great verse for this, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You heard the Bible, you heard the gospel of your salvation, and you trusted in it. It says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In Romans it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. How do you get the Spirit of Christ? You're born again of the Spirit, John chapter 3. Amen? And that Spirit comes to dwell within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're different people than we were before we were saved. Amen? We're saved, but Christ is living inside us. It's a spiritual birth, and we receive him for that. Turn to John 3:16, if you will. John 3:16. Probably never heard of this verse before, but we'll just, it's a good verse. Maybe you read it somewhere, I don't know. John 3:16. Do you know that's probably the most famous Bible verse in the whole world, John 3:16? We'll add a couple of verses to it, but look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible's using that word quite a bit. Look on down to the last verse in that chapter, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God, not the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What do we need to believe in? We need to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Sometimes we doubt the Lord. Sometimes our faith is weak. That does not affect our salvation. Our salvation is secure. And we'll see that in the scriptures. We can believe God for eternal salvation, but many, many times our faith is weak. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter, at Christ's bidding, comes out of the boat, out of the boat on the sea, and walks on water. Now that's quite a feat. Amen? And I've mentioned this before. If you've never heard this, I walked on water once. But it was in winter when it was frozen. Amen? But laugh at my jokes. They're the funniest thing going, right? And you say, well, we heard him 20 times. Yeah, well, just pretend. But he was walking on water, and I mean, what an act of faith. And he's walking, and he gets his eyes on the storm, the waves, and he begins to doubt what Jesus said to him. What Jesus said was, come, you can walk on the water. But he looked at the storm instead, and he began to sink. And the Bible says, this is our Lord's response. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You ever been there? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The reason a lot of people get weak in their faith is they don't spend time in the Bible. The Bible will build your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's an amazing statement. God just spoke the worlds into existence. We find that in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, but it's all through the scriptures where God created all things. In John chapter 1. Jesus is the creator because he is God. And so we believe that by faith. It's hard. You can't comprehend how God did it other than he spoke the worlds into existence. Amen. That's what faith in the Bible produces. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe the Bible. I don't understand it all. I can't comprehend it all. I believe it. Through faith, we understand. I don't know how exactly how God did it. He named all the stars. there's a lot of stars. Amen. A long time ago, they only thought there were 1,000 stars, but there's more than 1,000 galaxies. I mean, it just goes on. Where is the end of the universe? There is no end to it. Well, I don't understand that. So because I don't understand it, I'm going to make up some scientific explanation. No, just believe the Bible. Amen? And so God did all of this, and we believe the Bible because it is God's word. Here's what believe means. To credit upon the authority or testimony of another. That's God's word. And then it says to be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is God's word. It's referred to that all the time. What's the old saying? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But you can take the I believe it out. God said it. That settles it. But he gives us opportunity to believe it so our lives can be changed. So we can have eternal life. Gill is a commentator, and he wrote this. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He found in himself some small degree of faith in the power of Christ, but it was mixed with much unbelief through the greatness of the child's disorder. Sometimes the trial is so big, we don't think God's going to get us through, but he will. Amen. He will do that, and we just have to trust him through those things. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you believe that verse? That's word for word. That's in the Bible. That is God's word. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we can't even think how God's going to do this. And we don't even know what to ask for. But God is able. He is able. And the greatest faith in the world was like the three Hebrew children that they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And they said, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we're still going to believe in God. So there's things sometimes we pray for, and God doesn't answer the way we think he ought to answer. But he's still God. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In John chapter 6, verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's where you find it in the scriptures. Amen. The creationist, we believe God created everything. The evolutionist, he's got his own slant on that. Remember the guy, his name was Leakey? Boy, what a good name. Because something leaked out. Amen. And but he discovered, I think this is right, I think he's the one. They built a monkey, or their origin of man, out of the tooth of an extinct pig. And you can look that up. And the whole world believed him. And all Darwin, and he writes his book, and everybody follows it. And we follow the scriptures. Can I explain it? Yeah, I can explain it. God created it. That's easy, isn't it? I mean, you know, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, and so we just understand that. A little girl asked her father one time, how did the human race appear? The father answered, many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved. 2 days later, the girl asked the same question to her mother. The mother answered, God made Adam and Eve. They had children. And so was all mankind made. The confused girl said to her mother, how is it possible that you said to me the human race was created by God, and Dad said they developed from monkeys? And the mother said, well, dear, it's very simple. Your father told you about his side of the family, and I told you about mine. I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. Amen. You know, the old song goes. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. And the evening and the morning were the first day, then the second day. And the evening and the morning were the second day, and then the third day. He wants you to get this. The evening and the morning were the third day. I think I'll stop there. I think you got it, right? The evening and the morning were the first day. There is something out there called theistic evolution. And that's where people believe in God, but they believe in evolution. So they say God was the author and then he created the cell, and that cell evolved. That's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. There is no theistic evolution. It's God created all things. He's the creator. And then they come up with the day-age theory, because the mind can't comprehend that God created everything in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. They cannot comprehend that. How could he do that? Oh, I think we'll try and explain it. So one day is all of these ages, and then the next day. So it's the day-age theory. It's not the first day was the evening and the morning. It's the first day was however long you want it to be. And so they say the earth is millions of years old. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Amen? But anyway, we'll move on. That's a whole nother message. In Genesis 3:1, the devil said, "Yea, hath God said." He got Eve to doubt the Bible. He got Eve to doubt the word of God. And because she did that, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Psalm 93 and verse 2, God is from everlasting, thou art from everlasting. Psalm 90 verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's the eternal God. How can this be? He has no beginning and he has no end. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. Amen? How do you work with that in your brain? I can't work with it. I can't see how he was from the beginning all the way. I just believe it. Amen? I can't see the universe. And there's a wall out there. So there's no wall out there. It just goes on and on and on. And I can't wrap my mind around that, but I believe it. An eternal God now that promises eternal life. Oh, now we're seeing the picture. Amen? But how can an eternal God give me eternal life? I have to do something to get that. Maybe I'm going to come back as a donkey. Maybe I'm going to come back as a goldfish. And so they believe in reincarnation and they make up all these stories because they cannot comprehend what God is saying in his word. The eternal God says, "I offer that same eternity to you. And if you believe in me, you will never die. And if you die in this body, you will live forever with me in heaven," a place called heaven. Well, what's heaven all about? I can't get sidetracked yet. Let me give you the message, and we'll be here because I've got an extra hour. Amen? Boy, we dropped off two. Now we only have one. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Isn't that clear? And he's the eternal God. And he says, if you'll accept my Son as your Savior, you will have eternal life. So I'm going to live eternally. I've accepted Christ. One day this body's going to die or be raptured, one of the two, and I'm going to be with God forever in an incorruptible, sinless body. You say, is that in the Bible? That's in the Bible. Amen. And if you study your Bible, you know that. So one day I'm going to be with him. I can't understand it. I don't know what it's going to be like. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Don't know. You know, one day I'm going to close my eyes and open them in heaven. Just believe it. 1 John 2:25, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." If we don't believe that, we don't believe the Bible. Amen? And then our doubt can really get us in trouble because you'll go looking for truth somewhere else. And again, Peter said, where shall we go? John 3:15, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal, everlasting, without end, immortal, infinite. In Revelation, it says we're going to be in a place with no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no sin. Amen? It's all promised in the Bible. Nicodemus and the Lord are speaking. And Nicodemus is a scholar, Bible scholar, Old Testament scholar. And he's listening to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." And at face value, here's a man talking to the Lord, and Jesus says, "Ye must be born again." He has no idea. We preach that, what's in the Bible, amen. We have the revealed word of God, and we would understand what that is. But Nicodemus had no idea. "You must be born again." And he said, How can this be? How can this thing be? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus explained it to him. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. And there's some more verses in there. But finally, Nicodemus got it. And he was born again. Amen? But it wasn't to his understanding initially. And so there are people that do not understand the Bible. They do not understand faith in Christ. They don't understand the relationship with Almighty God and what that can mean and how that can change your life and your eternity. And so that's what we try and do. We try and show people that so that they could be saved too. John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. And he says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that speaketh unto thee, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you a drink of living water. And she says, where am I going to get that water? How can I get that water so that I never thirst again? And the Bible says in John 4:15, she said, I thirst. I'm sorry. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She was thinking about physical water. And he says, the water that I shall give you shall be a well of water springing up in you unto eternal life. And she ran back to the city and she says, isn't this the Messiah? He told me all things whatsoever I did, and her life was changed. Amen? She was thinking on the lines of the secular, on the materialistic, I want a drink of water, just regular earthly water, to quench my everlasting thirst. And Jesus had something else in mind. And that's the same thing with Nicodemus. How can I be born again? How can this be? He was looking at it in secular terms. But once he got the idea of it, he chose Christ. Amen? I was religious when I was a kid. Couldn't wait to get out of church. I mean, we had to go. We went through catechism. We did all that stuff. Saturdays during school recess, we had to go to catechism. All morning, 9 to 12. I didn't like it, but they made me go. Amen? I wasn't saved till I was 22 years old. Then I understood. It wasn't religion. It wasn't a bunch of things I could do. It was my faith in the one who did it for me. Changed my life. Amen? It can change yours also. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. John chapter 14 and verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Philip, remember, have I been so long time with you and thou hast not known me, Philip? Have I been so long with you? Philip was one of the disciples. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whoa. What does that mean? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's a picture of the Trinity there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I preached on the Trinity before. I've made mention of it here at this church. You say, well, I don't understand the Trinity. Me either. Some people try and explain it like an egg. There's a shell, a yolk, and the white, or there's what the rays from the sun, there's actinic rays, there's all these different things, and they try and divide it into three things to show you the Trinity. I don't think you can describe it. You just have to believe it. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three in one. They're all one. Again, you might have your ideas on that. Mine come from the Scripture. Amen? And it has to be what God says. Nicodemus, the woman at the well. How about John the Baptist? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He's in prison. He's going to give his life. He's the forerunner. He was prophesied in the book of Malachi. He's going to come before the Christ and say, this is him. And he did that. John chapter 1 is a good chapter to read on that. John the Baptist said, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one I came to herald, the one I came to preview to the world. Now he's in prison, he's at the end of his life, and he says to some of Jesus' disciples, is he really the one, or do we look for another? And so they went back, and Jesus said, you go tell John, and he gave him what to say. And when he told John that, John said, oh, that's him. He spoke to John through his instrument, another person. He said to all of them, he answered their questions. You know what? Jesus will answer you. He will answer you. Is he the one? Yeah, just get in the Scriptures. Amen. Can he do this for me? Yes, he can. He will answer you in his word. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's how your faith gets strong. That's beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world, after all these things in the world, and not after Christ. There's all kinds of ideas out there. Amen? There's situation ethics. There's all kinds of philosophy courses and books just designed to take people away from their faith in Almighty God. This is the time we need faith. We are living in the last days. Amen? When there's a problem, when we lose a loved one, when we know that loved one was saved, boy, it takes the sting out of death. And God wants us to have that blessing. Search the scriptures. There is a place called heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There it is again. That's a clear path to salvation. Well, I just think if you're good enough and your good deeds outweigh your bad, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And when you put the Bible together, we had a lady in our church in Sturgis, and she never could stop doubting whether she was saved. She just over and over, did I believe enough? Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know. And what is salvation? I'm a sinner. Why do you know that? You know that without the Bible. Amen. Everybody knows that. But the Bible says we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the truth of the Bible. Well, I want to make something else out of that. Then it won't be the truth of the Bible. Well, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He was sent into the world, John 3:16, the Father sent him, that we might have everlasting life, eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, it's a child could understand it, and a child receives it. Though you, if you come to me as little children, humble, God, you just tell me what I need to do, then he'll answer that prayer and save your soul. But she always doubted that. And I kept bringing her back. Did you ask Jesus to save you? Yes. Did you mean it? Yes. Then you're saved. Amen. Well, did I mean it enough? Who could ever answer that question? And God didn't put that in the equation at all. Search the scriptures. I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But the Spirit itself reveals those things to us. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. John 17, thy word is truth. It all comes back to what God said. Come back to what God said, and there can be salvation, and there can be all kinds of blessings. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Faith is defined like this in theology. It's the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Simply put, it's a belief of the scriptures. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It changed your life, absolutely changed your life. Creation, incarnation, salvation, all these different things we read about in the Bible that are so clearly defined, they're pictured, they're declared all through the scripture, all through the Bible. There are so many spiritual truths sprinkled on the pages from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It's like a feast. You open the Bible and you just, I mean, it's a feast. I spent a lot of time in the Psalms, and I was thinking about this. God just brought it to my mind, so he must want me to say it. Amen? Do you want me to say it? Okay, that's a better, that's good. But I spent a lot of time in the Psalms, and it was like God telling me this morning, why don't you just invite the church to read through Psalms then the next week? It's 150, they're very short, and to read through and just see what God has to say to you. The Psalms, they're mighty, they're powerful, and it will increase your faith. It will help your faith. And by getting in the Bible, that's where we get strong spiritually, because God feeds us on the Word. So many spiritual truths. In the beginning, God created Genesis 1:1, surely I come quickly, Revelation 22:21. And in between is a wonderful, wonderful experience. Revelation 14:10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is a message to believers. We must all give account of what we did in this life before Almighty God. It doesn't determine whether we are saved or whether we're not saved. We're saved by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. But you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We won't take time to go there. But we have wood, hay, and stubble. We have gold, silver, and precious stone. And some of our works will be burned up because they were for the wrong motive, etc., etc. But that's enough of that. But I believe in the judgment seat of Christ. And then there's another judgment. There's only two. The other one is found in Revelation chapter 20. And that's the great white throne judgment. Somebody standing at that judgment is lost for eternity. And I believe chapter 21, chapter 22, when God wipes away all tears from their eyes, I believe as saved people will see what goes on at the white throne judgment. We will be spectators. And we'll see friends and loved ones cast out into eternity without God. And that's going to be very, very sad. And I don't know what else to say about that. And why do you believe that, Pastor? Because it's in the Bible. I believe it because it's in the Bible. And that ought to spur us on to witness to people so that they can be saved. Faith without works is dead. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So naturally, wouldn't the prayer today be, Lord, increase our faith? If faith without works is dead faith, and if it's impossible to please God without faith, wouldn't we as believers want our faith to be increased? Does that make sense? Amen. And how do we increase our faith? By spending time in His Word and by prayer and asking God to help us to have that faith. One day our faith will be sight and we will see Him as He is. Time's getting shorter and shorter and shorter, isn't it? Do you remember when you were 20? Well, I can't remember back that far. You remember when you were 20? And then 30 was old. It was just old, man. Man, that is old. And then when you hit 30, 40, you are over the hill. I mean over the hill. And people make, well, anyway. And then when you're 40, you thought 50 was old until you hit 50. And then 60, and then 70. And some of you, I don't think there's anybody here over 70, but you're welcome. But the time is going, isn't it? Time for us to do something for God, time for us to win somebody to the Lord, time for us to honor the Lord with our faith. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, one day that is going to happen. This mortal shall put on immortality. Think of that. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Christ gives us the victory. Amen. One day we'll be with Him. Easter's all about that. Easter's all about that. Well, if God was eternal, how could He die? Jesus died, but He was God, but He was also man. So He died, but yet He rose again. Amen. You say, well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. Amen. Through faith, we understand. Don't let a doubt drive you away from the Bible. Let it drive you to the Bible. Don't go looking for truth in the false teachings of this world. To whom should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, if you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and you've asked Him to come into your heart and give you a home in heaven when you die, you can do that today. That's the only thing that's going to get you to heaven. It's the only thing. And if you are a Christian already, ask God to increase your faith that you might do something for Him with the time we have left. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless your word. Please bless your word. It's so precious. Your blood is precious. The word is precious. Eternity is precious. I pray, God, that we would live for eternity. I pray we would live for eternity and honor you with the rest of our life. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.